Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Right. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Hines, joined here with Blythe Wagner. Hey, Blythe, how are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Ray. I am absolutely fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing awesome and ready to podcast. So
woohoo! Here we go.
We're gonna do a little bit of a mailbag today, and then you want to hit them up with you want to just smack people in the face with a bottle of water, don't you?
I do. I totally, literally.
Literally.
I'm going to list 8 things that you can do to bump up your water intake, but not really be aware of it. So these are things that will kind of naturally lead you to drinking more water.
Yeah. And I mean, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that we're huge on the water. And we've literally met people whose metabolism is stalled entirely because their body is in a state of dehydration. And yes, it doesn't take major dehydration. When we think dehydrated, we think walking through a desert and seeing mirages everywhere and dry mouth and dry skin and everything. But oftentimes the symptoms of low-grade mild dehydration, which a lot of people are walking around with.
Over half the population.
They're subtle. They're symptoms. Yeah. They're signs that you don't really pick up on. It could be hunger, for example. Hunger is one sign of low-grade dehydration. It could be a mild lack of energy. Mm-hmm. It could be just a little bit of dryness within the skin, but the skin's not flaking, or you know what you would characterize as major dehydration appearance.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Dry eyes is another one. Mildly dry eyes. There are a lot of little things that can be resolved just by drinking more water. So I'm going to beat that dead horse today, slap it across the face with a water bottle, and give 8 tips to help those who have difficulty just getting in a little more water.
Love it. Okay, great. All right, well, why don't we hit the mailbag first, and then we'll jump into the topic.
Absolutely. Okay, first one is from Adam. He says, my wife doesn't want me to drink protein shakes due to risk of cancer. What are your thoughts on this?
So to kind of attack that myth, the question is, does protein consumption increase the risk of cancer? Certainly certain proteins, like the processed meats, have been linked to an increased risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. There are articles that have been written and books written, such as the China study, that makes the link between protein from animal products and dairy protein and things like that to an increased risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that link is as strong as it is made out to be. I think the link is likely has more to do with the fact that people who eat a lot of protein have a tendency to eat very few vegetables. And so when the China study discusses, and I had the pleasure of interviewing the doctor who wrote that book, the China study, what I came away from that conversation with was that I don't necessarily believe that the link is in elevated protein intake. I think the link is in the fact that when you eat a lot of protein, you have a tendency to eat very few vegetables. And I think if we balance the protein intake with a high quantity of real God's green earth kind of vegetation, I think you negate any increase in cancer risk associated with protein intake.
Okay, that's great. That's a great answer. I want to just kind of tag on to the end of that. I think he mentioned protein shakes in this. And my answer to that would be, well, that's very simple. Find a protein shake that is made from real food. You can do a soy. You can even do a whey. But if you are trying to stay away from the dairy, you could even do like a hemp protein or a pea protein. Find something that's organic. Find something that doesn't have any additives in it and go from there. Then you won't have that scare at all.
Yeah. If you want to just appease your wife, then you can just choose a vegetarian protein. There are now vegetarian proteins that are complete proteins that mimic whey protein. So the link between proteins and cancer, there is zero link between vegetarian source proteins and cancer risk, according to the authors of these papers and books. I don't think the link is there for even whey protein. In fact, we use whey protein in people who have been diagnosed with cancer as a way to support glutathione levels and to make sure that they have enough of the building blocks on board. So my guess is a really clean source whey protein would not only be fine, would be beneficial, and has qualities that may actually be anti-cancer in nature. So I'd be okay with that as well.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Adam. There's the answer to your question. Moving on to the next one. OJ writes, I lost 2 kilos over a month. How can I tell if it is fat or muscle? My quick answer to that one is go have your body fat tested somewhere and then go back in a couple weeks and have it tested again. Now, it's going to be hard to tell if because over the last month you've lost 2 kilos. I don't know if we're going to be able to go back and tell, but something you can do is see if your clothes are fitting a little bit differently, because that often indicates that you've lost some body fat if your body shape is changing.
So just remember, we've said this in the past that we always want to focus on weight loss and even body fat loss, but what we should be focusing on are the behaviors that we're changing.
Yes.
So are you healthier today than you were yesterday is the question. If you are, then if you're eating lots of protein, if you're exercising in the way that we discuss, which is high intensity interval training, resistance training, and pepper just a little bit of cardio in there, if you enjoy doing that, walking. My guess is if you're losing that weight and you're feeling more energetic and you look in the mirror and you feel and look strong, not necessarily smaller, but stronger, then you can pretty much know that you're heading in the right direction with fat loss and muscle gain. Now, that being said, if you have the option of going out and get a body fat percentage done, do it. You know, there are a lot of different options. You can go into a gym. They'll usually do calipers there. Or you can do what's the machine called where you hop in
the bod pod.
The bod pod. You can find bod pods around. If you just search for that, that's an option. There is some really, really cool tech that's coming out, Blythe, that I think is totally game-changing here. In fact, yesterday, I've been waiting 2 years for this, but yesterday I finally was able to pay an invoice on a unit that's called the Naked Lab 3D Body Scanner. So check it out. It's nakedlab.com, or just search for Naked Lab. I'm not, I haven't received mine yet, but I've been hearing good stuff from people that have been beta testing it. I'm not paid for endorsements or anything like that. I just think it's really, really cool tech. It's a 3D body scanner. It's like the scale you step on, and it's in front of this mirror that is, it looks like a regular mirror, but it's a really high tech computerized system that you step on the scale, it weighs you, and then the scale literally turns 360 degrees and it takes a 3D body scan of you. It then uses that body scan to determine body fat percentage. It can even show where you're losing weight and whether or not that weight is body fat or muscle based on their own algorithm. And this is one of the first to actually come to market. There's another one, I think, I can't recall the name of it, that's coming to market as well. I ordered both. So when I get both, I will test them out and let you guys know which one's best. But the Naked Labs 3D body scanner seems to be the one that I think is probably going to win out. But we'll see.
Pretty
cool stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I would have fun playing with something like that.
Body measurements also, you can get that. There are one-handed body fat calipers that you can do that estimate body fat percentage.
They have those little bioimpedance scales that you can step on where you hold the metal plates and step on the metal plates. They're not great, but it's something to go by.
Yeah, if the trend is constantly down, you're heading in the right direction. But
and the mirror is a great tool too. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the mirror is going to be one of the best tools as well.
Absolutely. If you're feeling good, if you're looking better, you know that you're heading in the right direction. So we oftentimes make it more complicated than it has to be. But just focus on the behaviors. If you're doing good things for your body, the body fat will take care of itself, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you're doing the right things, you're moving in the right direction. And that should be the goal. Okay, so that was the answer for OJ's question. The next one is from Jody, or she called herself JoJo from Australia. She said, "I have coffee in the morning before my workouts. How does this affect my metabolism?"
Okay. So caffeine probably does give you a small bump in metabolism. The result to the overall body fat loss is probably irrelevant. So
Okay.
we've discussed the fact that we don't exercise and eat to manage calories necessarily, because that only works really in the beginning of a program. And maybe if you're at the end of the program and you're really trying to squeeze those last couple of pounds off the body to get in, to show your washboard abs, right? So
Right.
calorie management works in the very beginning, at the very end of a weight loss program, but in the middle, we like to break it down into basically four stages. The sweatpants stage, which is the first stage, that's where you're out of shape, you've been eating a lot of different foods, and you're not really managing your lifestyle at all, and you've gained, let's say, 30, 40, 50, 100 pounds. And then you move into the skinny jeans stage, and now it's more about hormones than it is about calories. And then we move into the swimsuit stage, and then the fourth stage, if you choose to go that route, is the bikini stage. It's there where your calorie management may be a useful tool. But for the majority of your journey, it's going to be more about the way the food and exercise and activity and lifestyle impacts your hormones of your body and how that influences your appetite, your cravings, and your energy levels, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, Jojo, there is the answer to that question.
Well, why don't
Last,
you
oh, I'm sorry.
before we move on, why don't you kind of
Yeah.
give kind of that the Reader's Digest shortened for 2 to 3 sentence answer to that
Okay.
question.
Okay. Well, coffee is a tool that I think a lot of people use to bump up their energy, therefore feeling like maybe they got a better workout or feeling like they could go longer or actually, performing for longer in their workout. I don't know that caffeine plays a role in loss of body fat. There's probably plenty of support in either direction that yes, drinking coffee prior to a workout can help you. And then also no, drinking coffee before a workout doesn't help at all.
Right.
There's documentation supporting both sides of that argument.
Just remember, just because you're burning calories doesn't necessarily mean you're burning fat, and doesn't necessarily mean you won't restore those calories later down the line through what we've called the compulsion engine. And so if your body compels you to eat more and exercise or move less later in the day, you can always put those calories back. So even if it does bump up the calories lost in, let's say, a cardio session, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into more body fat loss.
Right. So keep on drinking your coffee if you enjoy it, but don't really use it as a tool, necessarily. Don't feel like you're forced to drink coffee prior to your workout to bump up your metabolism.
I do. I love coffee.
I
I love
do.
it.
You know what? That's something just I'm not a huge fan of. I drink coffee. I make a cup of coffee every morning. Everyone's probably going to laugh at this, but I make a cup of coffee every single morning. And I like iced coffee a lot. So I buy this cold brew that I found because I don't even own a coffee, a percolator or a Keurig. I don't own.
What?
I know I don't. And guests come and stay at my house and they're like, "Wait a minute, what? You don't have coffee and you don't have sugar in your house?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I don't. I don't have either." But I do buy this little pre-made cold brew. It's just like a concentrate. It's literally just coffee and water. And I make a cup every morning and I drink about a quarter of it. And it's more of a habit than anything. So I just need to stop buying it because I won't miss it.
It's the
I
nectar of the
enjoy coffee.
gods, I say. Nectar of
Yeah.
the gods.
I know you're a coffee drinker. Good for you. Keep them in business, right?
That's right.
Okay, next question is from Cindy. Cindy said, "I heard the podcast with Jonathan Baylor and read his book, The Calorie Myth. How is it possible to exercise only 20 minutes and still get good results? Do you want my Reader's Digest shortened version
Go
right
ahead.
now or
Go
after?"
ahead. No, go ahead. Let's
Okay.
hear it.
Okay. So my shortened version to answer that question quickly is it depends on the intensity of those 20 minutes. If you are giving it everything you have got in 20 minutes, you can kill a workout. I mean, most people go to the gym, flounder around a little bit, go through the motions. But if you watch somebody who's just in great shape, and this would be, you know, if you're walking into a gym where other people are working out, you look at somebody who's just ripped and you watch them focus on their workout. The amount of focus within that 20 minutes is what is going to determine whether or not you will have a great workout. And the intensity is what's going to get you there.
Right. Even in the research on Tabatas, where it was literally 4 minutes of active, you know, exercise, they were able to see benefits that were comparable or better than running on a treadmill for an extended period of time. So we know without a shadow of a doubt that intensity, as far as fat loss is concerned, the intensity of the workout trumps the length of the workout. So again, like we say, it comes down to you don't exercise and eat to manage calories, you exercise and eat to manage hormones. And a short, super intense workout will send the molecular signals that will promote fat loss, fat burn, and muscle gain. So, yeah, it is possible and even probable to pursue a very intense workout and see much better results with fat loss and muscle gain than you could from a much longer workout that is not nearly as intense. So with, right. with Jonathan Baylor, you know, he focuses on the eccentric contraction, you know, the slow lowering of the weight, for example, or the slow lowering of the body on when you're doing a push-up to get that, you know, that time under tension in the muscle for a much more extended period of time. If you think of it like this, if you're doing a bench press, for example, and you're pushing it up at 1 second, down at 2 seconds, up at 1 second, down at 2 seconds, the tension time that the muscle is actually under tension is much less than if you did a 6 second lowering and a 6 second raising of the bar. Five or six times rather than 8 to 12 times of a faster technique. You'll get much more time under tension that way. So that's another way in which shorter but more intense workouts can show much more dramatic benefit. But the short answer is it's all about the hormone signals that are being sent to the body when we exercise. When we do short intense, we're pumping out adrenaline, we're pumping out epinephrine, we're promoting more growth hormone and testosterone production than we get from a long extended cardio, which can pump out loads of cortisol, which is a stress hormone that causes, you know, more weight gain and lower testosterone, especially if you're in a huge calorie deficit. So there's a big difference between the types of hormones that are being manufactured in response to a long cardio session versus a short, intense, high-intensity interval training or a metabolic resistance training workout.
Right, which is why we recommend those, the latter two.
Right. Not that we don't do cardio. Like you like to run from time to time. I like to go for a jog from time to time.
Absolutely. It's sometimes just, I just feel frisky.
Yeah, I like to go for a jog when I get a chance, especially a long walk, but a long jog just because, you know, it clears the mind. And if you enjoy it and you do it, you know, 20, 30 minutes, it's not a big deal. It's actually probably beneficial for you to do that. But if you're really trudging it out on a treadmill for an hour, 2 hours a night, every night, just because you feel you need to in order to lose weight, well, guess what? That type of workout isn't going to promote pleasure in your body. It's going to promote stress, and then it's going to cause you to produce loads of cortisol, and that's going to work against the types of changes you want to see in your body.
Exactly. I think that's important for people to hear too. You know, sometimes harder and longer doesn't equal great results.
I mean, look at your clients, like what you do with them. You don't tell your clients to, you know, when you see the befores and afters of people that we've worked with, we don't tell people to run on treadmills for an hour or 2 hours.
Never.
Never. It never.
No way. Out. Yeah, never. Okay, shall we move on to the topic?
Just chomping at the bit. You just love to talk about water.
I do. What is my problem? You know, I really think it's something that is so simple that people tend to overlook it. And I know I'm beating a dead horse. Like I said, I'm going to slap it in the face with a water bottle today, but it is something that is so simple to do. I really want people to understand how passionate I am about it, which they may or may not already know, but I'm telling you today, I'm extremely passionate about this. And you know, as summer rolls around and the temperatures change, it may be going into winter, depending on what country you're in. It doesn't matter. You have got to make sure you're getting in enough water, not just because it's hotter or you feel or don't feel thirsty. It's important to get in plenty of water every single day. And if you can make it a habit, it's something that your body will stick with. And what ends up happening is people who start getting in more water become more thirsty for the water. So your body kind of catches on to that signal, that new habit that you've created. And it's like, oh, well, I was utilizing that water. Now I have to send you the signal of be thirsty so you remember to drink more water. But if you're not quite there and you're walking around this earth mildly dehydrated, it is time to bump up your water so your body can start working kind of like a well-oiled motor. You know, we wouldn't drive our car with no oil in it. No, my husband would kill me. Are you kidding me? So you don't want to be walking around dehydrated either.
Awesome. Well, get
good
into
analogy.
It. I love it.
Okay. Yep. All right. Number one, I'm going to give you 8 things you can do to bump up your water intake and sneaking it in into your body without making a huge effort. Number one is make it to go. This sounds really, really silly, but it is the most important one, I think, of my list here. Find a water bottle that is easy to drink out of. I really, really like the pop top water bottles, like one where you can just flick up the lid and it's got like a little nozzle on it and you just squirt it in. Other people really, really like straws. You know, like you can buy those big plastic cups rather than, as opposed to like a Nalgene that's got a screw off top where you have to unscrew it. You know, be very careful when you take a drink because it's all going to splash up in your face. Find something that makes it simple to drink water out of. Now, some keep one in your car and then something also like on your desk at work or something that you can carry around with you. I've got both. I keep a pop top straw water bottle in my car that like folds over. I keep that in my car. And then I have a pop top one that I carry around with me, you know, so it doesn't leak everywhere. But doing that and making it to go, making it readily available is going to kind of just trick you into drinking just a little bit more.
On the same front, one of the issues I've run into people is also how easy it is to clean those containers as well. What people have told me is when they get these containers that are difficult to clean, they yes. have a tendency not to continue the habit because the bottles are sitting in the sink dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So always, you know, don't just choose it based on the type, also choose it based on how easy it is to clean it as well.
Good point. And number two. Drink a glass of water before each meal. So if you're somebody who I call a rule follower, and I'm a rule follower, if I say, man, I really want some Oreo cookies, I'll tell myself, you know what, if you have a small protein shake first, then you can have those Oreo cookies with no guilt. So that's a rule. I made that rule for myself when I was pregnant with my last child. Okay. That was just a rule I made. I don't know. But I find that I know the type of person I am, and I will follow a simple rule that's really not going to put me too far out of my way. So make a rule for yourself to drink a glass of water before each meal. It doesn't have to be a 32-ounce glass. It can be a small glass. But while you're cooking, while you're preparing your meal, while you're waiting for it in the microwave, while you're waiting for somebody else to prepare your food, drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
Simple rule to follow.
Research suggests if you do 2 glasses before your meals, you'll really cut down on the amount of calories that you eat during the meal as well. One other factor that that is kind of along these same lines is the moment you wake up in the morning, drink half a liter of water. That's basically for many of us, that's a quarter of the water for the day, and you get it all over with. You rehydrate the body when it needs it most, and you go about your day. So it's a good jumpstart to the day if that's something that works for your lifestyle.
Yeah, perfect. Number 3, mix your own water. So I've got a lot of clients that tell me that they just don't like water. And if you want to know what I really say to them, I'll tell you later. No, I'm just kidding. I say, you know what? You're going to have to get over that. But in the meantime, like water is water. I'm sorry. Life isn't about the taste of everything. I understand that we like foods that taste, but I tend to swing on the other side of the pendulum where food is fuel. It's kind of just how I believe. And if that food is not going to make me feel good, well, then I'm not going to eat it. And there are times where I swing to the other side and I'm like, boy, I'd really like those Oreo cookies. So the times I do that, I make a rule for myself. But for the other times, you know, sometimes you just gotta tough it out a little bit, know how important water is. But if you would like to flavor it, you can smash some spearmint, kind of make like a water mojito, if you will. You can do spearmint, you can do lemon, you can do lime, you can do cherries. Any type of fruit in water makes it taste absolutely delicious. If you like those carbonated drinks, like the you know, the flavored, they're not sweetened, but the flavored fizzy waters.
Sparkling waters, yep.
Sparkling water, yeah, thank you. I had a difficulty coming up with the word sparkle there for a moment. So drinking something like that kind of gives you that essence of the fruit. You can do the same thing without the sparkle at home. You know, you make a big jug of it at home and use that if you have difficulty. I'm not a huge advocate of adding those little sugar-free flavorings to your water. But, you know, if that's going to get you to drink a whole liter of water by putting 2 drops of that in it, you know, we can start there. You don't have to go gung-ho and just go, you know, cold turkey with whatever you're doing. And we can ease you into all natural water over time.
Right. And you can actually get those carafes or those pitchers that have those that compartment in the middle where you fill it with fruit.
Yeah.
And that then gives the essence of the fruit as well. You know, somebody in the club, in the coaching club, asked about sparkling water. And, my initial knee-jerk reaction was, you know, water's water and sparkling water isn't water. But then I went digging and looked into it. And Blythe, I couldn't find anything really negative about the sparkling water besides the fact that it's in an aluminum can. Mm-hmm. Generally, you know, the sparkling water appears to be water with a gas dissolved in it. So,
right.
And most of the flavors are not sweet flavors, so they're not generally going to trigger an insulin response either. So, mm-hmm. And there's questions about whether or not it erodes the enamel on the teeth as well. That's another factor. So, basically what I said, if you want to have a can of sparkling water as one of your glasses of water, mm-hmm. I
think that's fine.
Find a reason not to, but don't rely on, you know, my wife has a tendency, you know, she'll say, Hey Ray, will you bring me a water from the kitchen? And so I'll get a glass and I'll fill it with water and I'll bring it out. And she's like, no, I meant the sparkling water. She refers to sparkling water as water.
And you're like, wait a second, they're two different things.
That's a problem. When sparkling water is your water, that's the problem.
Right. Okay. So, and actually, I was going to bring that up. I'm just going to jump to that one. That was number 7 for me. So I'm just going to jump to that one since we're here, and then I'll come back. So the next one, alternate beverages and water. So if you are going out to dinner and you want to have a glass of wine or a beer or something like that, make a rule for yourself that after you have that one drink, you drink a glass of water next before ordering another. Usually what happens, especially, you know, with my clients and even with myself, I'll go out and say, oh, you know what, I'll just have one glass of wine. And after that glass of wine, I'm like, you know what, okay, I'll have one more. You know, you start to feeling a little better and your little wall of great decision-making, your inhibitions drop a little bit and you're like, oh, okay, I'll have a second glass. Before you do, slip in a glass of water. And something I have found myself, and now this is what I was going to mention, is adding a little sparkling water, just the unflavored type, to a glass of wine. I really like making a little spritzer. I've been finding that I drink less wine because the carbonation kind of makes me fill up. So I'll go with just one glass and I'm getting water in while I'm doing it. So that's another little trick.
Awesome. Another rule you can make is, okay, you know, if you like to drink a diet soda, for example, and you don't want to give up your diet soda, then you could say, okay, if I'm going to drink the diet soda, I'm not going to do it until I get my full 2 liters in for the day or however much water you're talking about. But you could set that rule. And that way you get your water in and then maybe at dinner time you have your diet soda.
Right. And that's kind of like your reward for getting in all your water. But so you're doing something good and you don't have to feel guilty about having that diet soda.
Right.
Okay. Next one. Add ice to your drinks. How easy is that? I mean, you could add ice to your water and then it would be a little more water than what you thought by the end of it, by the time the ice melts, I guess. But adding ice to any drink will help water it down and get a little more water in. That's a super simple one to do. Get in the habit of adding ice.
Awesome.
The next one is eat more water. And here's a neat one. So I looked up foods that contain more water. They're higher on the water content scale than others. Watermelon, obviously, that's a simple one. Cucumbers, tomatoes, green peppers, cauliflower, broccoli, and spinach. You can eat these and you're going to absorb some of the water for those things. So if you want to pop those fruits and vegetables at the top of your list, that'll help you get in a little more water too.
In fact, the water's bound to fiber and brings with it minerals and vitamins and all kinds of nutrients. And because it's bound to fiber, it's almost like a sustained release capsule of water, if you will. So your body will draw that water out of that fruit and vegetable, but do it in a slower fashion than if we were just to drink it out of a glass. So,
right.
Very good. Love it.
Perfect. Okay. And the final one is, if you have a lot of difficulty getting in water, I suggest you set a timer. And when that timer goes off, you drink a bottle of water or half a bottle of water or whatever it is. You drink some water. So I think I've said this story before in one of our previous podcasts, but I'll bring it up because it's been a while. When I lived back where you live, back in Baltimore, in the Baltimore area, I went to a dentist. He was actually a personal friend of mine and a bodybuilder. So one day he's, you know, drilling away on my teeth and I hear this beep, 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 beep. And I look over and he stops everything and he opens a bottle of water and literally chugs it right there as his timer's going off. I'm like, what a great idea. So he's a bodybuilder. It's very important for him to get in his water. And he's a dentist. Time gets away from you when you get busy. You know, you might have a water bottle sitting on your desk, but if you don't, you know, get your face away from the project that you're doing, you know, get something to pull you away for just a quick moment. It took him probably all of 30 or maybe 45 seconds to drink some water there. And he had it set for every hour. So every hour he would stop and just chug a bottle of water, which works for him. I'm not saying that you have to set it for every hour. But if you have times a day where you get really busy, and I recommend this to my clients, when they have difficulty, you know, just getting in 60 or even 70 ounces of water, which is kind of on the lower end of the requirements for my clients anyway, I'll tell them to set a timer. And you know what? At noon, beep, 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 go drink your water. Simple.
Love
and
it.
And most of us have phones and computers and stuff around us where we can do that.
Yeah, that's perfect. And you can also get habit trackers that do that.
Sure.
And that way when it goes off, you just push a button and it marks you down as having drank that glass of water and then you move on until the next beep. So very good.
Yeah.
And it's one final little tip, and this is just one that I know people in the club have used, and I've used myself, is just drink from a straw. For some reason, when you drink water from a straw, it triples the amount of water that you take in at any one sitting. It's effortless when you're drinking.
Okay, I have one more. And this is silly. I'm just going to add it onto your straw. So whenever I'm getting ready for a competition, I try to bump up my water intake just a little bit. I'll make myself take 10 sips every time I go to take a drink. Or every time I go to the bathroom, I'll take like 10, I'll stop and take 10 sips of water. So I know it sounds a little neurotic, but I'll take one sip and I'll be like, you know what? I'm already taking one. I might as well just take 10. So that's another little trick I use for myself. I don't know. Kind of silly. Now I'm embarrassed that I shared that.
you take what you can use and you toss out the rest. You know how
there
it
you
goes.
Go. That's what my dad always says.
Great.
All right, guys. Fantastic podcast, I think. That was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah. All right. So we'll see you guys next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast. Check us out at cutthefatpodcast.com. Also on Facebook, search for Cut the Fat Podcast, iTunes. If you haven't rated us, please do so at your convenience.
Awesome. I've been sharing some of the ratings on our Facebook page just because they create those soft fuzzies, that soft fuzzy feeling.
They do.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate you. We appreciate you guys. Bye.
Bye.